Jowson, sweetie, please drop that beat to start the show.
The Romantic Truth Podcast extends a loving and warm welcome to listeners in celebration of our sixth year of the show. We wish you a promising 2024.
Please be advised that due to the language, subject matter, and topics of the show, adults 18 years of age and older are highly recommended for this content.
Uninterrupted and commercial-free listening.
Now, since all of that is over, I would like to take this opportunity and introduce you to the host of Romantic Truth, Jowson in Las Vegas.
Hi everyone, Jowson with you here, Romantic Truth, Las Vegas, baby, yeah, keeping it real. I got a correction to make on yesterday's podcast. That documentary, that show on Discovery Channel that I was talking about, Quiet on Set, when I was talking about Brian Peck, he received only 18 months, not 18 years. I'm telling you, those people stick together. So watch yourselves if you ever get into that industry. Just gonna leave it at that. Let's go on to today's topic. Knowing when to stop loving. In other words, knowing when to quit. Knowing when to give it up. Now, a lot of you ladies are kamikaze pilots when it comes down to relationships. Seriously. The guy is already checked out. You're still trying to make it work. Stop it. Too many of you go too far and lose too much of yourselves. And this is the reason why many of you coming out of divorce, especially in your middle age, you're having to redefine yourself. You're having to go and rediscover who the hell you are. And it takes about 3 years. Now, here's the thing. Many of you get in relationships when you're very young. Some of you have already done it. You've been through it. You're probably nodding your head. The reason why I know is because I've dated women like you. You went through a lot of shit, took a lot of shit, went through a lot of shit, missed out on a good portion of your lives and your livelihoods that you could have enjoyed, and you wasted it away. Now, true enough, your kids were probably one of the most remarkable things that came out of it. But overall, many of you realize you got involved too soon, and it cost you too much. We're going to go over some of the things that you might need to be mindful of in order to better protect you. The first thing, your partner may start treating you like you're invisible. Just like you're not even there. You don't matter. It's more or less like you're a furniture fixture. You may say something to them, you may say hello, good morning, or something like that, and they won't even acknowledge you. It's like the room is empty. The next one. Silence. Oh, I know we talk about communication saving relationships. But if you got a person in your relationship that's silent or that has shut down and they're not starting up or opening up, you're in a bad situation. So not only you're invisible, you're unheard. See nobody, speak to nobody, and then they quit listening. Hear no one. No, see no evil, hear no evil. Speak no evil. That's pretty much what you're dealing with. They become very inconsiderate of you. Things such as, they may know it's your birthday and not acknowledge it in any kind of way. Or it may be a situation where they've gone and gotten themselves something to eat and didn't bring you anything. Or they've gone to the store and they bought the things that they needed or wanted, but didn't consider you. Red flags. They are consumed with their duties only, just enough to make the relationship function. If it's a woman, she may just cook your meal, put it on the table, put it on the plate, maybe on the stove, on the counter, in the microwave, and you figure it out. If it's the guy, the things that need to be done in the house that he's normally doing, he will do and nothing more. It will be more like a chore than it would be any kind of interactive experience where they're talking to you, interacting with you. The next thing, they'll become preoccupied with anything else but dealing with you. They will find the most minute thing in order to preoccupy themselves, even if it means that they call a friend out of thin air on the phone just to carry on a nonsensical conversation to avoid you. Many times you don't know what you've done. In some cases, you probably haven't done anything. A lot of men are faced with these consequences I've just mentioned with women who don't express themselves. Now, it could have been in a past relationship where things were very repressive, and some women actually carry that into the next relationship because they think that's a norm. And yet, many times they don't get upset until the guy cheats on them. Or she cheats on him. They occupy their time, meaning that they have no time for you. You have to talk to them in vignettes or snippets. Hey, I want to talk to you about refinancing the house. I don't have no time for that. Honey, I want to talk to you about having more intimate time. Look, I'm your wife. I don't have time for it. I'm going to play bridge with my girlfriends. They're going to take the time that they would normally have with you, or that they would normally have where you guys can have that me time together. Our time, really. And they're going to take that away. So it's going to be more me time, individual time, for each party. The next thing, they're going to take the partner for granted. So without consulting or asking anything, it's her birthday, for instance. He just goes out and buys some flowers, says happy birthday, throw them on the table. Or she may come in, happy birthday, and just drop a six-pack of beer on the table and walk away. What's missing here? Consideration, communication, feelings, acknowledgement. There's a hell of a lot of things missing here. At this point, your relationship is equivalent to being with a total stranger that you don't know. The quality of time starts to dissipate. So that time that you guys would spend together, watching a movie, going out to dinner, those things are now no longer a viable option. Now, the interesting thing is, this could actually take place, all of this could take place based over a dispute that you guys have, or it could take place over something that someone has an issue with you, or you have an issue with your partner that has not been disclosed to the other party. You know, fellas, the silent treatment. And it was wrong. Oh, nothing. Everything's fine. And she gives you that half-assed smile. And then she's looking forward. And she has a scowl on her face. Because she's continuing the thought she had before you interrupted her. Let's carry on here. A loss of interest. A loss of interest in your partner's welfare. Pretty much, when you hear a woman say sometimes, I don't give a damn if he ever comes back. Or the guy says, well, hell, she's out there somewhere, who cares? It's a form of detachment. The next thing. Is going to be, of course, suggest counseling. Now, this is the thing. One party might suggest counseling. Expect that to be shot down. Be surprised if they actually agree. Now, here's the thing about counseling that you have to come to grips with. You want someone that's not biased. I can't stress that enough. Because I have seen that happen so many times where they will get with someone who's more biased, and before you know it, that person perceives, oh, the counselor or the therapist and this person are jumping on me. See, it should be a balance where people admit their wrongs or their misdeeds or misdoings. Some people don't want to go there with that because as they see it, I'm not going to be wrong. I'm going to always be right. That person may not be the most cooperative person when it comes to counseling. And a lot of people lie during counseling sessions and during therapy sessions. They lie to a therapist, and then you come out of the session and you're like, why did you tell them that lie? It's none of their damn business. There are people that will do that. Because you think that'll be a come to Jesus moment for some people, but it's not. So, if you suggest it, and usually they're going to dismiss it. I'm not crazy. I don't need no damn counseling. Why do we need somebody else in our relationship? They start out with something defensive like that. That's because they're afraid they may be found out. They may hear what they don't want to hear. The other thing, blame. Oh boy. And you guys remember, I had a session on blame, guilt, and shame. Those are the three weapons people will use to try to get what they want from you, to manipulate you. Shame, blame, and guilt. You ought to be ashamed of yourself bringing me something like this. Who said that I wanted this? This was something that came out of your head. Well, you said your favorite color was navy blue, and I thought you liked this dress because you saw this dress in the store and you tried it on and you were really wanting to buy it, but we couldn't afford it at the time, so I went on and bought it for you. So you're just going to waste money on this dress. Guilt. You could have given me the money and I could have used it in a better way than you actually wasted money on this. Now, give me the receipt so I can take it back. Blame. Now I gotta get in my car and drive all the way back and return this to the shop and get the money back because of your stupid mistake. You see how that works, folks? They're all interconnected. Now the person that did the good deed feels like shit. Well, it could work from the man's perspective towards the woman too. She could have cooked dinner. You know I don't like this. You eat it all the time. Yeah, but I don't want this. Cook me something else. What are you trying to do, make me sick? I guess I'll go to bed hungry. If I wake up tonight with a stomachache, it's your fault. People use it all the time. So be mindful of that. When you're unjustly blamed for something, what they're trying to do is establish a pattern of behavior that they can actually apply to you and say, this is the reason why I'm leaving you. They want to get out of the relationship without saying they want to get out. From all these things I've predicted, I've depicted so far. Now, the other one. Denial of ownership. What that means is, ladies, you know about this very well, gaslighting. I didn't say that. I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. You're ludicrous. I didn't say anything like that. But yes, you did. You said, no, I didn't say that. You didn't hear me say something like that. You're putting words in my mouth. That kind of thing. The next one. Well, I wish you well with whatever you decide to do. When they're saying something like this, they have just driven the first nail into the coffin for you, for your relationship. Well, I wish you well on your future endeavors. What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nothing. Passive aggressive move. What they're doing is giving you the warning shot that they're getting ready to leave. Now, throughout all of this, you're going to have to also start putting the brakes on your feelings slowly. Because through this process, it's going to be like a slow grind to a halt. And you have to be prepared. The security team downstairs barking, they just got their hair cut today. The next one. The next one is, was he wishing you well? Is the denial of the relationship. Now, the reason why the people are going to do this, I'm sorry, not denying, opening the relationship. I'm sorry about that. Opening the relationship is the next one. I can't read my own writing. Opening the relationship is the next thing. What this means is they're going to say something like, well, you know, if you want to go out and find you another girl and hang out, you can go in and do that. Or he may say, you know, if you want to hang out with your girlfriends and, you know, I don't care what you do. You guys can go out partying. Oh, I'll be over at Samantha's house for the rest of the night. Okay, well, have fun. Totally unconcerned. Doesn't care. Wouldn't care if you got hit by a train or a bus. They're opening the relationship up because now they're releasing some of the vital components of the relationship. They're trying to release themselves from the commitment. They're trying to release themselves from any sort of expectations you may have of the relationship still being bonded. And this is their way of doing it in a subtle way. Upon opening the relationship, the next thing is for them to, believe it or not, reclassifying the relationship. You will find that some people will do this in order to create further distance from the partner. By reclassifying the relationship, take for instance, you're going out as a couple, and you say that you guys are in a long-term relationship. Well, they say might say something like, "Nah, we're friends with benefits now, or with this or with that. We're not in a relationship." When they start stripping away the title of the relationship, it may be time to prepare to bail out. These are all red flags for you to understand before the plane actually crashes. Then, here's where it gets sticky. The friends will know more about what's going to happen after this person made a decision than you will. They will know first. Friends and family will probably know first before you find out. You may find out through happenstance by one of the friends or family members speaking on it or asking you a question about it and may hit you from left field and you have no idea where that came from. So brace and prepare yourselves when many of these things that I'd mentioned before begin to happen, and then it gets to a point where family and friends start knowing things and saying things that you didn't know about your partner. Now, they may have what is called covert plans. Covert plans are plans that do not include you. These are plans that they may have to go on a trip or to do something, and all of a sudden, you expect them to come home from work on Friday, and you don't see them until Tuesday night or Wednesday. They haven't called, hadn't said anything, and then you might say, well, you know, you could at least call because I wanted to make sure you weren't dying in a ditch somewhere. Yeah, like you'd care, or don't worry about me. And of course, your partner is going to be concerned about you, or you'll be concerned about your partner if they do this to you. Let's go on here. I tell you what, let's take a break, and then we'll go on in just a second. Now let's continue on. Now, friends will know first, along with family, usually, what the intentions of your partners may be. Covert plans may be put in place that do not include you, and that does not need your consent, and they're going to sidestep you altogether. Now with this, they may also do things such as establish credit independent of you. Maybe open up another bank account so that they can start their lives over. The next thing, they will establish harder boundaries. You know, like I told you before, how people lower boundaries? Well, what they're going to do is stiffen those boundaries again. So you're no longer invited behind the velvet rope anymore in the VIP room. They're also going to raise those standards. Yes, indeed. They're going to be high standards. Just the same kind of standards that anybody else off the street would try to talk to your partner. Those are the standards you're going to be facing. The door is closed. Clink. The next thing. Of course, intimacy is gone. There'll be no intimacy. When this happens, pretty much your relationship is on the way to dying. No closeness, no communication. You're silent. They're silent. You're at a point now where you guys are damn near nothing but roommates that barely speak to each other. Then after the intimacy, you text or call them, it'll take longer for them to respond if they respond at all. And then you will experience what is called avoidance. They're going to avoid you at any cost. So if you're in the kitchen fixing something, they're going to wait until you leave before they go into the kitchen. If you're in the bedroom, they're going to make sure that they're in another room. They may not even sleep with you at this point, because the whole deal is they are distancing themselves from you. They will probably separate assets. So there'll probably be a mine in yours type conversation. It won't necessarily be a conversation for the most part. They may stack all of your things up on one side of the room or something of that sort, or one side of the house. It all depends. In some cases, they might put it outside. You never know. The other thing that we have to consider is this. There'll be a delinquency of responsibilities and duties. In other words, the person may decide to drag their feet on things. Now, some guys will do this to get a woman out of the house. Like, for instance, they may cut off the lights, have the lights turned off, have the gas turned off, make it miserable for that person to stay there. Maybe even have the phones turned off. Yes, people have done it. I was listening to the Tom Likas show one time, and he talked about how that was done to get a lady out of his residence. Some people do those things. The next thing. Being seen with other people. Maybe he's being seen with another woman. Or you, or a woman, is being seen with another man, in the company of another man. It's to publicly humiliate and let that person know that, hey, we are no longer an item. And depending on, and usually if a person wants to keep a relationship and they're cheating or out with someone, if they want to keep the relationship, they're going to always go to the loved one, their partner whose heart they've broken. If they don't give a damn and it's over, they're going to leave with the other person. No matter how much you beg, scream, and cry. You saw it once again on Cheaters over and over and over and over and over again. The guy's standing there crying, and the woman is taking off with the other man, and she's telling him he doesn't make enough money. He doesn't clean his underwear, you name it. And she brings out the laundry list of things that she's held in for so long. Or it could be the guy that's cheated, and then he has a whole complaint column for her. The next thing. Denial of the relationship in general. You notice I said they reclassified the relationship earlier. it may get to a point where they'll actually deny the relationship actually exists. We used to be together. We used to be a couple. We're just friends now. Or we're just this or that. They're going to usually classify it under the classification that was designated. They're going to take away the title of relationship. They're not going to make it sound so permanent. Now, this person may decide when they're going to cut the rope with you to have others speak on their behalf. Maybe it'll be her girlfriend to tell you that it's over, or one of her loved ones. Usually with men, we don't go through third parties. We usually just don't communicate with you at all and let you know it's over. But it depends. Now, it's not surprising. I've seen women do this a lot. They'll break up with a guy and still be in good graces and good standing with his parents and family. What she will do is do her PR work with the family prior to breaking up. So in that way, she doesn't look like the villain. And some women will do this, especially if she's really liked by the parent, his parents, or friends even, for that matter. The one thing that I want you to understand about this whole ordeal is that through it all, a lot of you ladies will still try to hang in there and still try to work your hardest for it to work. You might have kids, you might have assets together, etc., etc. What you have to remember is, if you're going to stay in a situation like this, the first thing you're going to have to really abandon are going to be your emotions, your feelings, because your feelings are going to be the vortex that will suck you in to this relationship longer than you need to be and expose you to things you don't need to be exposed to. Now, what are some of the consequences from this? Some people beg for their partner back. Trust me, if you have to beg for your partner to come back, it's going to be much worse than it was when you left. And the reason being, that person may not trust you as much. Now, this isn't to say that all relationships where the person's come back where it's been horrible. Sometimes it did work out. But see, the change has to be in the individual. If there is no change, there will be nothing better to come back to. But see, the problem with a situation like this is that the one person that's being broken up with is on their knees begging and trying to get back, leaving the other person not having to do nothing, even though there may have been some things that they needed to work on that probably caused this person to have an anomaly in the relationship or to create a problem in it. Which means that if this person is taken back by this individual, they're going to have to abide by their rules 100%. Meaning that they could be the no-fault person. You know, the Teflon narcissistic type of individual. This is how narcissists always wind up on top when the woman comes back or when the guy comes back. They make their demands and they don't have to be accountable. But the other party has to be accountable in so many ways. So the heavy, which is the person that is doing the breaking up, they have all the clout, all the weight, all the influence. The only thing that other person is sniveling and trying to get back in the relationship is going to do is try to comport themselves and comply to every demand that this person may set for them. But please understand, the relationship's still not going to be the same. It's just like if you've broken something and try to put it together back with crazy glue. Even if it's seamless, the fact of it is, you knew it was broken at some point. That doesn't leave you. You can forgive, but very few people forget. And it has the potential of coming up in an argument later on. And what we've done here in these red flags I've given you, we've looked at three of the main components to breaking up with a person. Do away with the intimacy, do away with the proximity, the access to the person, and then you do away with the communication completely. Game over. Now, some people will do this in order to make a power move in a relationship. They may deliberately become irresponsible and lack all of these things in order to get the attention of their partner. And when they get that attention, what they want is the power in that relationship. They want to be the decision maker. They want to be the king maker in it. They want to be the broker. And they want the other party broken. Now, a couple of other things that happens. You remember that word I always tell you about called inadequacy? Well, they're going to make sure that you fall short on many of the things when they start their list of complaints. Things that they didn't complain about while they were in a relationship. Things that they never told you. Things they never brought to the forefront. But now they're going to unleash and just let you know everything that they had on their chest. Now, a person will become more flagrant if they've already got a structured plan on where they're going next. So they can be flagrantly disrespectful to you, unfortunately, because they're like, well, my heart has somewhere else to go. I don't know what you're going to do sitting there with your broken heart. Because this is the way people show you their asses when they have gotten kind of full of themselves and they're like, you know, I really don't need you, that kind of thing. Now, the other thing to keep in mind about this, they may go and give you some sort of ultimatum. They got the attention. Now they're going for the power. Now they're going for the control. The way they go for the control a lot of times is they'll give an ultimatum. And they might bide a little time in between when that ultimatum has to be met. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm moving out for now. And I'm going to give you about 3 months to get everything together for yourself. Now, here's the thing with this. If they do not give you conditions, if you decide to go this far, which I don't recommend, they want to have a hiatus or a sabbatical in the relationship. And they're not giving you any such things such as what are the conditions as far as we'll be able to see other people or only wait for each other. We'll be able to communicate or not. What are the expectations upon us meeting again? So what am I supposed to improve on? What are you supposed to improve on? Etc., etc. Usually the narcissist will never talk about what they have to improve on. It's always going to be you, since you're the inadequate one, to come up with solutions as to how you could better fit with them. Now, the other thing to keep in mind too is this. They may have milestones. Well, I expect you to be here in a month, here in 2 months, here in 3 months, as far as progression towards whatever goal that they have. And then they may tell you, well, the ultimate goal is for you to be here at this certain level. So you have to go and work on yourself for that. Now, keep in mind, there's no guarantee that this person takes you back after you've gone through all these hoops. more often than not, they're trying to set you up, as they see it, for someone else to deal with you, because they're done. And this is their exit strategy. So, all of the things they wanted you to correct and to fix, they're on your case to do. And this is what they want. And they're just waiting for it. Now, the other thing too to keep in mind is this. The duration, expectations, milestones, these are all components they'll be looking for. Conditions of communication. And whether or not they're going to be in proximity of you. More often than not, they won't be. Now, and also the terms and conditions of as far as third parties in a relationship, or if it is a relationship, when they say they put it on hold, on pause, or whatever, what usually that means is that I'm not in a relationship with you until we resume again. So we're taking a break. Fellas, like I told you, breaks and sabbaticals in relationships are not good things. When you get to this point, that person is actually tired of you. That goes for you too, ladies. They're fatigued, maybe from the routine, maybe from you in general. It could be the cadence of your voice that they're sick of. It could be you as a person they're sick of. You can't change that. You can only be you. And when you try to metamorphosize and change, what happens? Because you're trying to make this huge compromise, this 85% compromise of doing yourself a makeover just to appease and please this person. You won't be respected. If you notice, especially you fellas, you can vouch for me on this. Some of you, when the woman breaks up with you, what does she usually go for? Disrespecting you. Because she knows she can get away with it in public. She can embarrass you. She can actually shame you in public. And everybody's laughing, the men and the women. You say one thing negative about her, they're ready to kick your ass. They get a thrill out of humiliating. Now, the one thing to keep in mind, the terms of these sabbaticals or these breaks, there's no guarantee that that person has to take you back or will take you back. And they may tell you, well, we're not broken up yet, but we could see other people, etc., etc. Another reason why they do this is just in case you do something spectacular, win the lottery or something like that. They feel as though they still got a shoe in with you and they haven't burned that bridge. You cannot allow something that's a successful event to negate the way you've been treated in the past. Oh, well, you know, I won the lottery, so she'll love me now. No, she won't. She'll always love what you have, not you. Some of you ladies, well, I just go and lose this weight and he'll love me. Probably not. I have seen women so desperate to get back with men that they would sleep with other men at the request of the guy she was with to prove her love. As I told you before, folks, if you're still proving your love and you've been in a relationship with someone, you're in a relationship with someone, you done fucked up. That shit goes on a trial stage when you first start. Well, you're not necessarily having to prove yourself. You are showing them the depth of integrity you already have. Don't get played like that. Now, another thing we have to come to grips with this sort of cycle of behavior. If that person decides to monkey branch back to you, if they decide to come back to you, don't be so receptive and willing to take them back. Here's why. They've already dogged you out, leaving the relationship. So they already know I have creative license to dog this person out if I get back in it. You could add a requirement of going to counseling to try to work on those issues with that person if you so desire. And sometimes it's not worth it. The question you always have to ask yourself before you get in a relationship, is it worth it? Now, at any of those points that I depicted here, a person can get out of a relationship and still have their own dignity and still go on and not have so much damage done to them emotionally. But some of you ladies, like kamikaze pilots, you're going to go all in and crash all in. And then when a new guy meets you, you're filled with distrust, anger, self-doubt, low self-esteem, suspicion. And what that means is, instead of the relationship starting out on a pleasurable foot, it starts out off a negative foot. And it turns a lot of men off. It's, oh, she's damaged. I ain't dealing with this. Hell, I was on Bumble. The majority of women I met on Bumble, they were severely emotionally damaged. They didn't get any therapy or no help. After their divorces, angry with men, angry at themselves for the decisions they made, angry with their exes still. I walked out on a date. I told the lady, I said, I'm not going to take this shit off of you. That's something you're still dealing with, and you need to go get a therapist to deal with it. I don't need no damn therapist. Only thing I need is a good man. No, what you need help. I said, you're the only person in this restaurant yelling and raising their voice. It's my life, I live in the West. Okay. Hell, that battle you're trying to fight now, you should have fought in your marriage. When he was doing all that shit to you and telling you all the things you told me that he did. That was the battleground there. I'm telling you, ladies, we ain't taking your shit. We're not doing it. And you shouldn't have to take a man's shit because he's angry at women. Because the last woman he was with took him for a ride financially. That's the way it goes. And see, the other thing we have to look at here too is the level of vulnerability. This is one thing that you'll see a lot of women resent. And what they do, they build those standards and those boundaries high based on how vulnerable they were with the person they wanted and liked so much that did them wrong. And so therefore, one size fits all when those high boundaries again and standards, until they find another guy that they're gonna drop them down for once again. Because many of you work in an extreme measure. You don't gradually allow the person to develop and then you lower the boundaries in sequence. Nope. You find a guy, you head over heels with him, those boundaries are dropped just like those panties. And before you know it, you're in love. Some people have written in the show about this shit. You've heard some of the messages. Guy just meets a woman, 3 weeks they've been going out, and all of a sudden she wants to move in. The one guy was on his first date, and the girl was talking about marriage. Hell, I had something similar to happen to me one time. Girl had taken me over to her house to meet her family, talking about I was her fiance. Because she had fucked up so badly in past relationships. Family had lost confidence in her ability to make a good judgment to get a good man. And once I saw that, I wanna deal with that. Same thing happened to me at a wedding. But the lady took me to a wedding one time. I was her fiance to some of her friends, to other people. I was her boyfriend to other people. I was just her friend. And it came down to the one she wanted to show out from in front of, I was her fiance. The ones that she was actually being truthful with, I was her boyfriend. The ones that she was still trying to act like she's all that, I was her friend. And she got a rush out of that shit. I didn't. I left her fake ass alone, too. And this is what you're going to have to do at times. Now, a lot of people look for forgiveness after they have made a mistake. Let's get a few things straight here. Ladies, you opening your legs, sucking a man's dick, is not an accident. If it's done consensually. Fellas, if you put your penis inside a woman, are you eating her pussy? Consensually, that is not an accident. So when you hear people say, oh yeah, I had an accident, I just made an accident, I had an accident. You had no accident. You fucked up. An accident is something that's not premeditated. If you're going to take somebody out to fuck them, that's premeditated. Now, if you were just walking down the street and your dick just happened to fall into this woman who was laying on the sidewalk with her legs open, you stumbled into a pussy, that's an accident. Because you tripped. Just saying. Call it as it is. The other thing too to keep in mind here, especially you ladies, you know that little voice that tells you this ain't working? Don't ignore it. That is your bat signal. Put on your cape and get the fuck out. Now, you could try counseling, you could try working on it as a couple. If you're not getting the cooperation from the partner, I would definitely go to a third party, to a counselor. If that doesn't work, when I say a counselor, I'm talking about a licensed therapist, family therapist, relationship therapist, somebody that's licensed. Don't fuck around with anybody else. And if it doesn't work out there, you guys got to split and have that understanding that you guys will have to split if it doesn't work that way. 9 times out of 10, the person's going to try to leave before the counseling session even comes up. For some reason, people are anemic to it. They don't like it. They don't want other people knowing the business. You know what they used to say in the mafia? If one person knows what you're doing, you're safe. If two people knows what you're doing, you got a problem because you got a witness. So that means you're going to have a witness, and that witness is going to be a partner that has experienced the things, or you experience the things from you, or you experience the things from that partner. And you're going to have a third party there to listen to both sides of the story. And there's always the truth that sits in the middle. I was talking to one lady and she was thinking about going to counseling with her husband. And I told her, I said, I think you should. Because they argued all the time. Oh, and another thing too, impromptu arguments. These arguments that come out of nowhere that make no sense and you guys are going at each other. Somebody may pick a fight, one of the couples. Well, here's what happens with that. The person that picks the fight that makes no sense and that leaves early, more than likely they have some place to be to meet someone else. Very possible. They don't want to be late. So they can't really finesse their way out of leaving you under normal circumstances and conditions, because you probably want to go with them. So they'll say, oh, no, that's all right. You can't cook some shit like that. It could be something stupid that will be very offensive. But getting back to this lady was talking about leaving her husband. And she asked me, do you think I should go to counseling with him? I said, yeah. I think that'll probably be the best option. I said, you still want the marriage? She said, yes. I said, but does he want the marriage? He said he wants a divorce. Well, ask him if he'd want to go to counseling. He said, okay, I can't ask him that. I said, why not? He's not crazy. I said, so you would be crazy going to counseling, but he wouldn't be by not going? I'm not going to ask him anything like that. I said, well, you're falling back into that place where you were that got you where you are. You're not speaking up for yourself. They got divorced. She wasn't going to push it. Now, as I told you before, don't beg a partner back under any circumstances. Please don't do that. They will humiliate you. You go on social media, they had this one lady, had this man on his knees, walking behind her on his knees, begging her back. And she told him, only way I'll come back to you is you get your own place and I quit my job. He agreed, and it was so pathetic. He's grabbing this woman's thigh and crying like a child. Like a damn 3-year-old. people about. Don't let yourself get to that point. Keep your dignity. Because you're going to need it. There's more to life than the end of a relationship. Whether it's a marriage or just a live-in relationship or a boyfriend-girlfriend situation, there's more to life than that. I remember when I was living in Santa Clarita, California. There was a girl that had stood on the track, the train track, because they had the Metro Link that would come through. And they had this blind turn, blind curve. And needless to say, she was splattered all over the place. I think she was 14. Why? Her boyfriend broke up with her. It's not worth it. You got too much life to live to die over a relationship. They have that added stress. A relationship is supposed to make you feel better about life. Not add on to the burden of life. Shit, it's hard enough every day for us to just walk outside or attend a concert or for a child to go to school and not worry about getting shot or to go to a concert and not have to worry about getting shot or stopping at a red light in your car and worrying about getting carjacked. Or even having a house and coming home and somebody else is in your house because they're squatting. We got a lot more shit to worry about. And the last thing you need is to have the closest thing to you in life, a relationship, stress you out. That should be a place of peace. The woman that I get with, I'm telling her right now, whether she's listening on this show or not, I want peace so I can have a peace of your ass. I know I'm going to hell for that. That's okay. I think I got the condo next to Stalin, right down the street from Mussolini, but next door to Hitler. I think Putin's going to have the other condo behind me. I'll figure it out. I think Castro stays on the other street in front of me. But look, in all fairness, though, I want you guys to take care of yourselves. Love yourselves. Don't allow yourselves to become humiliated. And these are some of the red flags that you may notice as you're in this relationship that you may want to point out and address immediately so that it won't escalate into something worse. Or if that person is intending to leave you, that when that does happen, you're not this ball of nerves that has no direction and no sense of self. Take care, folks. Love you all. We'll talk to you on tomorrow.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.